So Gemara Chagiga Daf Beis Amud Beis highlights what the Mishnah tells us at the beginning of Masechus Trumos. I had a chance to discuss that briefly in Shir on Sunday. Mishnah began Masechus Trumos and talks about Chamisha Lo Yisromu, the five people whose Truma, who should not take Truma, and their Truma is invalid. Now that the Chatchila, they're not supposed to be even B'diavad. If they did, it's invalid. The first three of those five are Cheresh, Shota, V'Katan. And as the Gemara points out in Chagiga Daf Beis Amud Beis, the reason for that is because they are lav b'nei deya. They don't have sufficient das to be chayav in mitzvahs, and more to the point here, they do not have sufficient das to be able to effectively create various halachic chaluyos, or if you prefer the yeshivish pronunciation, chaloisim. They can't make a chalais. They can't effect that change. He could say harezet truma, but it's not going to be valid. The Mishnah also there talks about a Jew who's perfectly capable but doesn't own this truma. If I'm a healthy, capable adult Jew who's a bar das, I walk into your kitchen and I take truma off of your oranges, so that's not valid because although I have a bar das, I'm not empowered to take truma off of your items unless you made me a shliach. So here, Chayr Shal Tavakatan, even if they own, even if it's theirs, however they took ownership of the produce or of the grapes or what have you, but since they're Nalav B'nei Deya, they don't have the capacity to create the Chalos Shem Truma on the item. And then the Mishnah goes on to say in Trumos, the Seifa of Trumas Perak Aleph Mishnah Beis, which will also quote the Gemara Chagiga Daf Beis Amud Beis, is that when we say Cheresh, and specifically when you talk about Cheresh being a log by das, we mean specifically Cheresh is Dibur Chacham B'chol Makom. The Mishnah says whenever you talk about Cheresh in general, Stav Cheresh means Eino B'daber Ve'Eino Shomea. Neither can he speak, nor can he hear. He's a deaf mute. That's when we assume him to be a log by das, as we discussed briefly last time. Discussion in post-Kim, is that automatic? Or is it just the default position is generally someone who's both deaf and mute is going to be a lav bar das. He's going to suffer all sorts of deficits and delays as a result. But in a chanami, there could be exceptions, and there are gemaras where they indicate that. There could be exceptional cases where he physically lacks the capacity to hear or speak, but lamasa still has the mental capacity. In that case, maybe he's a bar das. Okay, be that as it may, in general, certainly we assume that we presume the cheresh to be lav bar das, but that's only when he's Eino medaber the Eino shomea, and as the rush opens here, paragraph 7 Gimel, with now we recognize where that line came from. Where the rush gets that from? Not from the riff. I looked also because what the rush did is generally to take the riff and add to it. I think we've met the Rif already. The Rif was a contemporary of Rashi and a predecessor of the Rambam. He also lived around the 1000s, like Rashi. Rashi lived in France and Germany. The Rif lived across the Mediterranean. And I believe he lived part of his life in Spain and part of his life in Morocco. Rif, the Fe in Rif is for Fez, a city in Morocco that had a very, very long-standing major Jewish community. See, he was a Rosh Hashi. I believe he was born in Cordoba, like the Rambam, if I remember correctly. But he was a Rosh Hashiva primarily in Fez, Rabbi Yitzhak Alfasi. And he wrote a Kitzur. He was a great grand rabbi of the Rambam. The Rambam's father, Rabbeinu Maimon, was a Talmud of the Rif's Talmud Muvak, the Rimi Magash. So the Rambam was heir to the Rif's Masorah. And what the Rif did, sort of, the Rambam expanded on, which is making a kitzur of the Gemara. So Riff made a kitzur of the Gemara. Lacha Maisa cut out most of the machlokas, cuts out most of the shak retire, gives you the bottom line lacha maisa of each sugya. Sometimes expands on a little bit also. And then the Rush, around 300 years later, takes the riff and adds to it. Adds to it largely material from the Baal HaTosfos, sometimes in other Rishonim, sometimes his own comments. So whenever you see a line in the Rush, I think that some of the new printings they actually have take the Rush and print whatever is originally in the Rif in like a different font. So you can see which is the Rif and which are the Rush's editions. So this happens to be the Rush's edition. But he opens with Siman Gimel. The first line we know is where. What's he quoting? He didn't make it up on his own. What's he quoting? The first line is the Mishnah Trumas. That sets the stage for the, and that's what our Mishnah is talking about as well. Our Mishnah, not only the Mishnah in Trumas and the Mishnah in Chagiga, but the Mishnah in Chulin as well. That's also because here too we're talking about the scenarios. We're talking about the scenarios where their lav b'nei Deya. And that's the Rambam in Parag Dal Halacha Hey, Chayr Shot V'Katan V'Shikur, Sheshachtu Shchitasam Sula, She'im Bem Das, Shem Yekalkul V'Shchitasam. That is clearly a quote of our Mishnah. And he adds Shikur, maybe for some other time, Rishon, talk about that, the Rosh Rash, but they talk about the fact that the Rambam adds as the drunk as well to the list in our Mishnah. But then the Parag Hey in Halacha Hey in Parag Dalad is working off of our Mishnah, but then the Rosh draws our attention to Halacha Tes. Halacha Tes, where the Rambam gives two other examples. Mumche sheneshtateg, v'harehu mevin v'shomea v'daito nechona. You have a mumche who lost his capacity to speak. A mumche means, we'll learn more about mumche later as we move through the parak. A mumche is someone who is a certified shochet. We know that he knows the dinim, we know that he knows how to shecht, but he loses his capacity to speak. But harehu mevin v'shomea, he could still hear, and he understands, which prapashipshat means, therefore, daito nechona. We know that although he lost his capacity to speak, he did not have other neurological deficits. He can still think. He's still a bar das, just lost his capacity to speak. So then, harei ze shochet l'chachila. He can shochet l'chachila. We have no concerns whatsoever. Something happened to him. You might have thought, he can no longer shech. No, let him continue to shech. No problem. V'chein, and so too, the Rambam says, misha'eno shomea harei ze shochet. And so too, someone who cannot hear, but he can speak, he lost his ability to hear, also, harei ze shochet. And the Rambam goes on to talk about other cases, suma lo yishchot l'chadchila, Rambam said l'achiyud, someone who's blind cannot shech l'chadchila, unless other people are watching, for obvious reasons. We're more than a little concerned, if you can't see, blind people are blind tend to, in general, when an individual is missing a sense, Kadosh Baruch Hu created us, one of the great chassadim that we often take for granted, is how adaptable we are. And we have a lot of adaptability, but there's some sort of deficit, some sort of issue, we often, even unconsciously, work around it. So when a person loses a sense, or is missing a sense, other senses tend to heighten and sharpen to partially compensate. If you've ever gone the Dialogue in the Dark in Cholon, the Blind Museum, when they give you the experience for an hour or two of sightlessness. Not that there's very little light in your eyes adapt to, there's no light whatsoever. You cannot see. Your eyes are wide open, you see nothing. And you begin to experience what it's like to all of a sudden you're relying more on your hearing, you rely more on feel, you rely more on prior perception and on vibration. So the Summa, even though he's going to compensate, but Lamaisa, Shechita is still something that's obviously a lot easier to do if you can see where you're shechting. It's a lot safer in terms of his personal safety and a lot safer in terms of the kashrus of his Shechita. Okay. And keep that bit of context in mind as we take a look at the Rosh. So what does the Rosh say? Kasa Rambam, Mumche Shinishtatik, Vumevin Vishomea, the fellow lost his speech, but Mevin Vishomea. And he doesn't put that the added line the daita nechona shochet lechatchila. He is allowed to shach lechatchila, no hesitation. So too v'chein yishenu shomer is a shochet. So what does the Rosh say? The Rosh says, well, here is this interesting. There's a difference in language. So let's see what some of the Shom have to say, and then we'll start the analyze. The Rosh writes, well, the shtati kasa shochet lechatchila, but in shomer kasa is a shochet. But lo kasa lechatchila. Mamish is back to back, the two cases. In one case, it's so obvious, the word lechatchila is glaringly missing in the second case. He lost his speech, shochet lechatchila. He lost his hearing, hareza shochet. But no lechatchila. Rush says, ah, you're supposed to notice that. Why? Because not lechatchila. What's wrong? The guy can't hear. So what do you need to be able to hear in order to shecht? I understand the ability to see. But why is hearing relevant? So it says, grada darkei tshuva, does quote some achronim who talk about hearing as having significance in shechita, because sometimes there'll be things that you'll notice by hearing them. If you shecht, if you went too far, if you caught bones, which perhaps would mess up the knife, maybe the previous shechita, if you shecht to start from the front, the anterior, from the front of the neck, and you the shochet cuts the esophagus and the trachea, it doesn't go all the way through. If he goes all the way through and hits the spinal cord, that's going to ruin his knife. So some of the darkei tshuva does quote some achronim who say, oh, if you can't hear, how are you going to know you hit the knife? So you might feel it, you're not going to see it. You might feel it, or sometimes you might hear things. You hit the knife, you hit the spinal cord, you hit something else you weren't supposed to hit. So if you have sharp hearing, you might hear a scrape or a sound you don't expect. The fellow is a Cheresh Hamadaber, so he's not going to pick up on those auditory cues. But the Rosh doesn't say that. The Rosh says, you know what the issue is with the hearing? The problem is because the Visha'eno Shomea Bracha. It's a problem with the bracha. A problem with the bracha. It says the same happens in Trumas. Cheresh Hamedaber, Eino Shomea LeYisrom. V'intar Trumas LeTruma. The Cheresh Hamedaber, L'chatchila, should not take Truma. If he does, it's valid. But he should not, because he can't hear. Why? Because he can't. We have a problem with the bracha. The shofar is supposed to make a bracha, and what's going to be with the bracha? Now, if you're thinking, as soon as you see this rosh, you ask yourself, some of you might have looked back and said, I think I mixed up the two cases. Right? Who has a problem with the bracha? So one person can't, the first person can't speak, and the second person can't hear. Which one's going to have an issue with the bracha?
The mute.
Right? But the mute of the rabbi is b'feirish l'chatchila. The one who can't hear, the one who's deaf, the rabbi said, didn't say l'chatchila, and the Rosh understands that means that taka is not l'chatchila. Why? Because of the bracha. So first, if you're reading the Rosh with open eyes, you say, well, bracha is more a problem for the ilim, for the nishtatik. So what taka is pshat? So the Rosh explains. Right? What did he say? What did the Rosh say? Why is the bracha an issue for the... Well, let's begin with this. He makes a good point. You're supposed to make brachas. As a matter of fact, that's why the Mishnayos and Challah say if a person is not appropriately dressed and is unable to make a bracha as a result, number one, in Siman Beis, and I'm trying to tell you that a Jew should be tzanua, should always be appropriate, even if other people are not around. We're talking this morning to Sil by Yiras Hashem. An awareness of the reality of Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence. So even if there are other people, I should still be tzanua, as appropriate. You don't wear long pants when you go swimming. You wear shorts when you go swimming. Now, obviously, a person is not going to be dressed when he takes a shower. But a person should be always appropriate for the situation, even if other people are not around. A Jew is supposed to be always appropriate for the situation, even the lack of other people, because that Kadosh Baruch Hu is always present. So. It's a violation of Siman Beis for the fellow not to be dressed when he's bimah for Shkallah. Anyhow, okay. So clearly, he needs to learn Aruch Chaim Siman Beis. But Lamaisa, leaving that aside, the Mishnayos tell us, we would tell him, you should not be bimah for Shkallah if you're not sufficiently dressed to be allowed to say a bracha. So the Rosh is saying something similar here. The fellow can't hear, he cannot say a bracha. So even though he's capable of shechting, you shouldn't be mafresh challah if you know you won't be able to say bracha. You shouldn't shecht if you know you're not going to be able to say bracha. Let's go step by step. The first case of the Rambam, nishtatek, the fellow's an eling, he can't speak. How come? We say, harez ha-shofel le-chatchila. Why is le-chatchila? I can't say bracha. What's the answer?
Because
You can't say bracha, but shomei kona. Shomei kona, let him be yotze. Someone else will say the bracha for him. Okay. We'll hold on to that for now. Then how about now in the second case, the cheresh hamadaber, can he rely on shomei kona?
No.
Obviously not. He can't hear. But you might say, on the other hand, but he doesn't need shomei kona. He can speak. The nishtate couldn't speak. So he needs someone to say it for him. The cheresh hamadaber, he could speak. So what's the problem? So what taka is the problem? Let him just say the bracha. But mainly if he doesn't know the bracha, okay, he's going to have a problem. He knows the bracha, he's a learned fellow, he just can't hear. So what does the Rosh say? What's the problem? What's the problem with his bracha? He can speak. What does the Rosh say? Back half the room? What does the Rosh say?
What?
He can't hear. What does he need to hear for? He's saying the bracha himself. Oh, even when you say, very good, that's a sugya in brachas, fantastic, in the Rosh codes, that even when I say, not only obviously for shomea ka'ona, I have to be shomea, whenever there's a mitzvah of amira, so the Gemara says, I need that the Gemara is actually, as you pointed out, the Rosh quotes, that the Gemara has a machlokas hatanoim, if you're yotze kriyashma, if you said the words yourself, but so low that you couldn't hear yourself. Or you would say, if you're Korei B'lo Heshmiya La'azna, based on the word Shema, Machlok Zatanam, Shema Yisrael, does that mean, Shema means understand? How you translate the word Shema? Listen, O Israel. Is it listen, hear, O Israel? Does it mean understand, or does it mean literally hear? That's Machlok Zatanam. You have to hear Shema. I'm saying it. If I said it loud enough that I could hear myself speaking, it was multimodal. I was doing both talking and listening. So that's what he points out. Machloek is hatanaim. The Gemara is commenting, aha disnan. The Gemara is commenting on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Korei Sashma, Lashmila Azna Yatza, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Lo Yatza. That's a machloek is hatanaim in the Mishnah, whether Bidyevet. And even Yossi Krishna Bidyevet, the Karvel Lashmila Azna. That's the machlok is hatanan, and that Gemara comments, Amr of Yosef. Yosef Amora says, machlok is b'kriyashma, v'sharmitz dirakol yatza. If Yosef only says, mamish lo yatza, you say kriyashma so low, you couldn't hear yourself, not yotzeh, that's a special din, that's a din meyuchad, that's a local din in kriyashma, that's not an algemein or general din b'chaz darakula, that you're not yotzeh, but the Rosh argues, but, to be ma'akev is only by kriyashma. But as a din l'chatchila, we do expect you to mashmi'a la'aznecha l'chatchila. V'sayin leg lo yuvarech adam birkas hamazon b'libo v'im birech yatza dafka b'diyeved l'chatchila lo. The Rosh argues that there's a ton of Rabbi Yosi, he says, by Kriya Shema, Mashmi Elazanav is Mamish Likuva. Whether he passes like him or not, that's only by Kriya Shema. But all other mitzvahs of Amira, there no one says, Mashmi Elazanav is Ma'akid, but it is required of Tila, and therefore, says the Rosh, Yecher Shamadaber, Eino Shomeya, he can say the bracha, but he cannot be Mashmi Elazanav. And therefore what? See, here the Rosh says something interesting. Normally it's irrelevant. There's this unpack a little bit of the Rosh's scar. Take the next step. Why is it coming up by Shechit all of a sudden? How about by the Kol Tarkula? So the answer is, it's relevant, the Kol Tarkula, for us, but not for him. In other words, if you're able to hear me now, so you should know, and this is something for most of us, myself included, to work on, is whenever there's a mitzvah amira, I'm really supposed to say it loud enough that I can hear. Many posts assume it's even the case by Shmona Esrei. Not loud enough that other people could hear, but loud enough that I can hear. If you have a chance to daven next Shmona Esrei, next to an Adam Go, you might, if you're close enough, you might be able to hear his Shmona Esrei, which means obviously that he's trying to make sure that he can hear. Kishmanas, right? Because of this concern, Mashmi'a la'azna. It's something to, a habit to train oneself in. Not to whisper the benching, not to whisper the bracha so low that I can't hear myself. And even Shmoneh Esrei. How often, and by as an aside, when you're make sure Mashmila Aznacha, you know what other good flows from that? You actually make sure that you're saying all the words. Forget even about Kavana, which is also important. Just to say the words, actually have articulated, you said the bracha on that apple, those are 9 words. Did you just say 9 words? Baruch atah Hashem, lakenu malach olam baruch reitz. Did I actually say, how often do we sort of thinking about the bracha, we said something that actually clearly articulate 9 words. So mashmiel aznecha helps you to make sure you actually said the nusach bracha. It will help over time to focus on the bracha, that's the more meaningful bracha with kavana, and it is independent of everything else. That's a din l'chatchila. Supposed to be whenever there's a din of avira, I should be mashmiel azma. So that's important for all of us. It is, however, largely irrelevant for the chedesh habedaber bein l'shomea, because he doesn't have an option. He cannot hear himself. He's if mashmiel azma was ma'akev, so then we have to figure out, should he bother saying brachas if he's not yotzei anyhow? But it's not ma'akev. If you said a bracha word mashmiel aznecha, you were yotzei b'yeved. So for him, it's a shas al chaked yeved dami. He doesn't have any other option. He'll always be b'yeved because he can't be mashmiel aznecha. So fine. He's gonna bench. He's gonna make kriyash. He did kriyash maybe machlokes tanan. He's gonna say shmoneh esrei and so on and so forth without mashmiel aznecha. What's the difference? Why all of a sudden by Shechita is an issue? He's going to make a bracha on tefillah, not be mashmiel aznecha. Shechita is an issue because he doesn't have to be the one to shecht. Someone else could have done the Shechita. Let someone else do the Shechita. Someone could do the Shechita. So either he could do it and with a b'diavad bracha, with a shasat chaktik bracha, or let the other fellow shecht with a ideal chachila bracha. So that's why the Rosh says, when it comes to Shechita, all of a sudden, the Rosh says, and now this fits beautifully, Dafka Hilcha Shechita, the Rambam has this line, where he makes it sound like, not Mechatzila. Nishtatek, when he raised the Shochet Mechatzila. The Cheresh, Hamadar, was just raised the Shochet, but never said Mechatzila. Why? Because here's Dafka, this type of mitzvah, where someone needs to do it, doesn't need to be me. Someone needs to say this bracha, but it doesn't have to be me, so maybe I should pass it on to someone else. And that is, grade, as you think about it, that is an intriguing chiddush, because it sounds, it's not like there's another way for me to say this bracha by Melech Akila. Someone else could, this bracha could be said by someone else instead. It's an interesting, even if you accept all the Rosh's premises up until this point, it's there's still a leap in saying that it would be better for him to have someone else be chayiv in the bracha and say it. It's not as though I have a better way to say the bracha. I will either say the bracha or not say it at all. So it's interesting that it's still considered to be, it would be better to let someone, where the Rosh is reading the Rambam, is it would be better to let someone else make the Shechita so that the bracha could be said in a more ideal way. As though there's like a chiyuv chavtsa, the bracha needs to be said. Is this a question of who's going to say it? So let's help the bracha be as ideal as possible by having someone else shecht so that someone else can say the bracha. A lot of that's quite a leap. That's quite a leap. But that's what the Rosh reads into. That's what the Rosh reads into the Rambam. Now, as you saw, so the later Rishonim are a little taken aback by this Rosh. Yeah. So the Magid Mishnah, this is, by the way, this Magid Mishnah on Hilchos Shechita, this is not someone else, they tell you. Rabbi Yehuda Kalatz. It's Magid Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Kalatz, because this is not the usual Magid Mishnah. There's another parent called Magid Mishnah that's printed in many sections of Rambam.
Nagir.
By what was his name? The regular Magnish was written by I believe a Chavrusa of the Rhine. His name was Abenu Vidal of Toulouse. Okay, so he tied the first page. Abenu Vidal. Vidal is Spanish for Chaim. Like with Chaim Vidal. Byron. His wife. So he was the base midrash of Rambam. But this Magen Mishnah is by a different Talmud Chacham, where he uses this Rabban Yehuda. So what does he say? He points out his first kasha is also picked up on by the Beis Yosef. His first kasha let's hold off on his first kasha and when we get to Beis Yosef. His second kasha, what's his second kasha? The second kasha has to do not with the language of the Rambam, but content. The Beis Yosef focus on the language of the Rambam. This Magen Mishnah, he just says, his second kasha is that really true? He says, Kashalish. Lefiza, first is Kashalish in the Vechein, we'll get back to that in a moment, Tzarkiyah. Then he says, Lefiza, Arum Leishol Lechatilah. According to what the Rosh is saying, so someone who is inappropriately dressed, is insufficiently dressed, and cannot make a rabbi, also shouldn't share. And we've never heard of that. It sounds like he's trying to say, and we've never heard of that. And we've never heard of that. Meaning that the Rosh, although on the one hand the Rosh is making a compelling argument, the Oti Mashmiel Aznecha. On the other hand, as we were saying, the Rosh is making a leap. And you'll notice that the Rambam didn't say anything about brachas. So the Rosh Mamash came with a whole shtickle Torah. The Rosh made a diak of the Rambam and came with an explanation. The Rambam never said a word about brachas. And Shev other nafkaminas. There are other cases besides Chayesh Shem Adabri, you can't make a bracha. It's intriguing that, and part of the pushback could also be, Hare Lefi the Rambam, for me to hand over the Shechita to someone else so he can make the bracha, it's very nice that he will say an ideal bracha instead of my saying a suboptimal bracha. The bracha will be better said, as though it's the same bracha whether I make or he makes it, which is itself intriguing. There's a bracha, just a question of who says it. It's the same bracha. But not only that, Lefi the Rambam, it is a little bit shver also. What Shita the Rambam do we know of that would militate against laying someone else shecht if I have the opportunity to shecht? Yeah. It's very nice. The bracha will be better said by him. But I'm losing, I would still be yote the bracha, and I'm losing the mitzvah of Shechita. Which is not a mitzvah chiyuvis, but still, I get Lefi the Rambam, we spend time on this. L'chara, I get Lefi the Mabusha Yamtev from Shneir, Kotler, against the Prima Gadam. According to Rambam, I get a Kima Mitzvah. There's a Maisa Mitzvah. Doraisa. So the fact that the Rosh argues that I should give up my opportunity to have a Kima Mitzvah Doraisa of Shechita in order that the Bracha will be said more ideally, so that's questionable. That's part of what this Magen Mishnah is pushing on. And we haven't heard about this. And then, his first point is the point that let's take a look at the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef hammers home. What do you say even about the way the Rosh is reading the language of the Rambam? Because what the Rosh is doing is saying, let's be Mizda'ik in the Rambam. So Beis Yosef says, Beis Yosef is, as you know, Yosef Karo. Before he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, his own independent Sefer Halacha, he first wrote running commentaries on the two primary Sifri Halacha that were already extant in his time, the Rambam and the Tur. He wrote Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam, he wrote the Tur, Beis Yosef on the Tur. In both cases, his primary goal was to give the background for that Sifri Halacha. Where does it come from in the Gemara? Where does it come from in Rishonim? Kesef Mishnah is a little more brief. The Beis Yosef is very expansive. It gives the whole sugya of Beis Yosef. And then he built Shulchan Aruch off of Beis Yosef. So he's at the end of the period of Rishon, beginning of the period of Achronim. Different people refer to him in different ways, as the late Rishon or the Achron. And they usually assume that he marks sort of the dividing line. He was shown Nachron. So the Zosef is asking Kashas against this rush. Look in the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam. He doesn't even talk about it much. Turns out a little bit. But he says he has a lot to say. He says, let's take a look. He begins by calling Zelosh in a rush. That rush we saw. Picking up on this, see the end of the first wide line, and they associate our very important Rosh Hashanah. The beginning of the first line over here is a Zayin Lamed. The end of the first wide line is an Ayin Kaf Lamed. What does that stand for? Zel Lashono and Atal Lashono. Those are otherwise known as verbal punctuation marks. Rishonim and Acham didn't have punctuation marks, but they had terms that serve as punctuation marks. So Zel Lashono is open quotes, and Atal Lashono is closed quotes. And the Achronim use Vav Tzad Yayin as a question mark. We're not really a question mark as much as a question mark and an exclamation mark. It's not a question, a shayla, it's a kasha. Or maybe for those who use the Shatnitzim edition of the Talmud, the Tzad Yayin is the equivalent of a dash, question mark, dash. Right? We are up to a kasha. Yeah? Okay, so Rezei, he says, Kasa Rambam, Zelosh and Arash, if you use the whole quote for the Rosh, Ad Kam Lashonah. And now we get started, start with the second white line. Some people are hung on how to read this. I believe there are at least two kashas over the next three lines. He basically does not say anything in Torah. But when you see that Afal Pi, it becomes clear quickly that he is asking Kashi. The Rosh has made this whole argument that what? That the Rambam differentiates the halach between Nishtatek and Cheresh HaMedaber. Nishtatek is not Lechavchila, Cheresh HaMedaber is not Lechavchila. And the Rosh gave a reason why. Not only did he give me a chiddush and what, namely, Cheresh HaMedaber should not be Shetech Lechavchila. But the reason is because he's going to make a bracha in a bedieved fashion because he's not Mashmielachas. No? The Rosh says, well, picture Rambam, he should have started Nehem HaShomem. The Rambam equated them. After all, this is what he wrote. Open quote. V'chein mishen shameya. Close quote. That word v'chein is very significant. And that really is the end of the Rosh's first kasha, the Beis Yosef's first kasha in the Rosh, which is also the Magid Mishnah's first kasha in the Rosh. What do you mean they're not the same? He said v'chein. That's a way of saying they're the same. That's also verbal punctuation marks, particularly in the Rambam. The Rav trains his Talmidim, I think the Salvation family in general, trains their Talmidim to be have heightened sensitivity to certain connecting words in the language of the Rambam's Mishnah Torah. The Chaim, Lafikach, he knows those words, they mean something. The Rambam isn't throwing them around. Lafikach means therefore. He tells you a din and says, Lafikach, another din. You can't just know, understand each din in a vacuum. You need to understand why din number two is somehow a logical consequence of din number one. He didn't put that connecting Lafikach there for no reason. Or here, V'chein. I say A, V'chein B, there's some conceptual, there's some equation being drawn between the two. And if you want a mocker, an earlier marker for that sensitivity claims the Rambam, now you know there's a Beis Yosef in the first siman of Yerodea, who says that there, she see a Bechein, it means something. It's not just a throwaway word. For some other time, Rambam is a whole beautiful Mahalach, and the Rambam Birkas HaMitzvah is based on the Bechein. The Rambam talks about Birkas, at the beginning of those brachas, I think it's Paragraph of Chadal or so, he talks about Birkas HaNenim, and it's Bechein, Birkas HaMitzvah. And then goes on to our show, Birkas HaAvodah with Avichin. The Rav suggests, the Rambam is saying that Birkas HaMitzvahs function like Birkas HaNen. Maybe some of them we can talk about what that means, so we don't have time for that now. It's a beautiful side topic, but it's definitely a tangent, and we don't have time for that tangent. But a whole new approach, the Machlokes Rambam Ritva, how to understand the function of Birkas HaMitzvahs. Maybe it's all based on Avichin.
You want to make a tesha should die in the chen. It's a Beis Yosef says should die in the chen. But the Beis Yosef says the Rosh seems to have missed that the chen. And the Beis Yosef is not comfortable saying the Rosh holds you're not medayik in the chen's in the Rambam. Not only does the Beis Yosef think you should die in the chen, he's convinced that everyone holds that way. His teretz is not the Rambam didn't care, the Rosh didn't care about. He wouldn't say problem number one is the chen. What's problem number two? Kasha number two against the Rosh's read. Namely, again, the Rosh was the Chadesh that the Ram holds, the Chadesh and the Dabr, it cannot shekel the Chachila. Kasha number one, the Vechain makes it sound like you could shekel the Chachila. But he said, Elaine, the Shtatek is shekel the Chachila, the Chain, Chadesh and the Dabr. Rosh says, what the Beis Yosef says, the Chain, it's the same thing. And now, and then the Rosh says, the Beis Yosef says, and besides the Chain, even if you just look at Chayr Shem Vedabra alone, what's his second kasha against the Rambam? Harizah Shokhe. It sounds pretty lechatchila. Good, he didn't use the word lechatchila. Right? Again, just to get on the board, the Rambam had said, Nishtatek, Harizah Shokhe, lechatchila. Vechein, Chayr Shem Vedabra, Harizah, Shochet. So the Rosh had said, look at that gap. Look at the contrast. The first time he raised the Shochet of Chila. The same time, second time he just raised the Shochet, period. So the Rosh said, look at the contrast. He didn't say the Chila. The Beis Yosef says, true. By the other end, number one, who cares? Once it says V'chein, you don't need to repeat it. V'chein means, you know, just insert from before, same thing. And the number two of the Beis Yosef says, figure out the V'chein. It's true, it didn't say lechatchila, but harei zeh shochet sounds pretty lechatchila. Harei zeh shochet means this man shechts. That's not saying if he shechted, it's okay. Shechitaso ksheira could sound big d'yevet. If once he shechted, it's fine. But harei zeh shochet sounds like instructions. This man shechts. So he didn't use the word, who did he use the word lechatchila? Harei zeh shochet means lechatchila. That's where the Rosh, that's the Beis Yosef second kasha. The Oda raised their shochet, Shekosev, Eino Shomea, Lechatchila Mashma. That's the raised their shochet itself is Mashma Lechatchila. So what's his answer? That's a strong kai. Now his answer could have been, at least for the first problem, well, the Rosh doesn't, not Madaik in the hands. He did not go that route. Instead, he says, fascinating. The Beis Yosef says that the Rosh was reading, the Rambam was walking a careful line. And on the one hand, the missing lechatchila sounds like it's not lechatchila. On the other hand, we have two pieces of evidence to make it sound like it is lechatchila. So what's the answer? So the Beis Yosef says it must be the Rosh held both. It is lechatchila and it's not lechatchila. How could that be? Either it is or ain't. Should I? Or shouldn't I? Do I hand the animal over to someone else, or do I not? So what's the Beis Yosef's answer? You can have your cake and eat it too. In principle, practically speaking, you should not, but in principle, you should. In principle, you can, from a perspective of Hilchos Shechita. Because what the Beis Yosef answers is, well, there's, if you ask me, can I eat this product at the Seder? So I might say, you're asking me a chametz, because it's a chametz, it's a kidneys, I care about kidneys, sorry, Ashkenaz, whatever it is. But you're asking Hilchos Pesach, Shaila, can you eat this at the Seder? Now, it could, let's say, it's kosher le Pesach, but it's milchik. So, should I eat at the Seder? Well, from a Hilchos Pesach perspective, it's fine. But if you're planning to have fleshiks, you can't have it at the Seder for a different reason, because it's basmakala. Two separate issues, an archaim issue and a yoredei issue. See, here too, the Beis Yosef says, well, there's an archaim issue and there's a yoredei issue. Here the primary issue is yoredei, hilchos shechita. There's also an archaim issue, hilchos brachas. From the hilchos shechita perspective, that's what the Beis Yosef is driving at. He says, Yishlom b'dehainu midin Torah shechita, av mitama bracha yesh chiluk b'neim. From midin Torah shechita, by mitama bracha there's a chiluk. What that means, I think, is what I just told you. Namely, practically speaking, it's not lechatchila. But if all I would, in principle, if all I was looking at, from the perspective of hilchos shechita alone, there's no hesitation. Just like this food you want to eat at the Seder, from the perspective of hilchos Pesach, it's totally fine. There's not a shred of chametz. There's not a shred of kidneys. It's totally fine from the Hilchos Pesach perspective. But you can't have the seder because it's milchik. So we say, from the Hilchos Shechita perspective, there's nothing wrong with his Shechita. In other words, going back to the term that the Rosh had left out of the Rambam's language, Daito Nechona, we have no concerns in terms of his capacity to shecht well. He lost his ability to speak. We're not worried that therefore somehow he's neurologically impaired in some other way and he's not going to be as good as Shochet. But, excuse me, he lost his ability to hear. Like, against that Darkei Tshuva, who said, look, if you can't hear, so you're not going to hear certain auditory cues that the knife hit something. So the Beis Yosef says, no, that's not what the Rosh was saying. There's no concern whatsoever mitam hilchos shechita. It's only solely a problem of hilchos brachos. If there was no such thing as birkas hamitzvah and shechita, go ahead. But there is a birkas hamitzvah and shechita. Certainly for the Rambam, it holds the mitzvah shecht. So mitam hilchos brachos, from mitam arachayim, we would tell you not to. That is the way the Beis Yosef reads the Rosh. You look in the bottom of the Rosh, Madana Yom Tov gives you a kitzur of this Beis Yosef. It should be noted, as I mentioned before, the Rav Yosef Karo has an arichas about the Rosh on the tour. Because the tour himself quotes his father. When the Rav Yosef Karo though wrote on the Rambam, he did not talk about this at all, because he says in the Kesef Mishnah he just says Shochet lechatchila. So the Beis Yosef, the Rav Yosef Karo himself, does not seem to disagree with the Rosh in terms of how to understand the Rambam. Ultimately, he does not. I mean, the Kesef Mishnah, when he's actually talking about Kesef Mishnah, when he wrote on the Rambam, he says lechatchila, no hesitation, because he did not personally agree with the Rosh's diuk, probably for the reasons that he lays out. Yeshlomar, then you look at the Kesef Mishnah, you look back at Beis Yosef, he goes, the Yeshlomar here is it doesn't just mean the Teretz is. I mean, you could say, here's what you could say. Here's what the Rosh must have been thinking. I can defend the Rosh, but I don't actually agree with him in terms of how to read the Rambam. The Beis Yosef has explained how you would read, what the Rosh must have been thinking, but he doesn't agree with the Rosh in terms of that read of the Rambam. But we're just getting started, because we're going to move next time to dig into Hagos Ashri, who actually takes on the Rambam, and that's going to open a world that we will see, ironically, is actually going to take us back from Hilchos Shechita, and Hagos Ashri, quote Hor HaZeruah, is going to link up with what Rabbi Shulman began talking about this morning, with the halachas of coming late to davening.